Hello.
Hello. No, we'll figure it out.
We'll get a song.
We'll figure a thing out.
We are going to take lessons and we're going to learn to sing Hard to Say Goodbye by Boyz II
Men. We're going to bring in a whole choir.
I do.
Not in here.
Humble brag.
Yeah.
But I met one of the members of Boyz II Men when I was seven.
We're
going to
bring
in
all Boyz II Men. I'm so sorry. You got a stray hair right here and it's driving me crazy.
It was
crazy.
In my eye. Thank you.
It's like poking you in the eyeball.
That's a good way to start this show out than anything I could imagine. Thank you for joining us for Hard to Say Goodbye. This is the show that's going to help you through one of the toughest times in your life when your favorite show ends, specifically Game of Thrones. It's coming. You can't stop it, as far as I know. And we're all sad.
I mean, I see I keep doing this and I feel like it's mean, but it's like it could just be like the books and they never air the last season.
But
dude, you are really trying to piss off George. You like want him to come on this show.
No, I just realized it's just not going to happen, I think. Whatever, it doesn't matter. We don't need to derail off that.
In case it does happen and the show does end, your old pals, Trisha, DJ Sam, are here to help. Trisha, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
Thank you for joining us, by the way, and being a part of this Hard to Say Goodbye.
It makes it special, and we appreciate it.
Thank you guys so much for asking me to be a part of it. I did not realize how much I would thoroughly enjoy rewatching the episodes. I even emailed you guys before this just to be like, dude, and then this happened.
Yeah.
Like, you know. Just like you do.
Well, we needed somebody, made me excited.
We needed somebody on the show that knows what they're talking about.
No, only sometimes.
Sometimes. But DJ.
Yes.
How you feeling?
I'm feeling all right. Mm-hmm. Feeling all right. Are you ready? So this is episode 3.
This is episode
Lord Snow.
3.
You want me to read the synopsis?
If you're feeling excited.
Snap.
Ooh, oh, snap.
Switching it up.
Lord Stark and his daughters arrive at King's Landing to discover the intrigues of the king's realm.
Oh, nice and vague. Gives us no guidelines of what's going
to
happen.
So speaking of intrigues, though, this is Ned's first introduction to the council.
Yes.
Right? That's what they're called? It's just the council? The High Council?
The High Council.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they're a bunch of shady motherfuckers.
Mm.
But at this point, do they really look like they're super shady?
Yeah, to me. Littlefinger, right
Peter
off the
Baelish, yes, 100%. As soon as he sat down, you're like, you look like a cheap knockoff villain in a mob movie. Yeah. Like, I already hated him.
I love him so much.
Yeah.
I mean, you love him because the actor's amazing, and he's so charismatic and so devious.
The actor's amazing, but, like, from the very first moment I met Peter Baelish, I was like, you're up to something.
Yeah. Ooh, you're being
sneaky. I knew it.
Sneaky.
Like, but not, like, sneaky in a way where, like, you're probably going to die soon. Sneaky in a way where, like, no one suspects you and you're the puppeteer behind this entire damn thing. Like, from the very second I met him, I was like, ooh, watch for that one.
Mm. Peter's peeled.
Peter Baelish and Varys. Varys. Are both like, okay, watch for that guy.
Varys, I thought, was going to die way faster. He's not important when he
talks.
Not
that he doesn't die.
And I like the way he speaks, but like there was something about him, like, Peter Baelish, his presence felt like you're longer lasting, but you're going to piss off a lot of people. Varys, initially, at least in this episode, he eventually becomes a character that I do enjoy watching. But right now, I was like, oh, you're not important enough. Also, old man, I'm like, you got secrets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you. I was looking through names really quick. I was like, I don't
have
enough time.
The one that seems the most important right off the bat is Renly, and he factors in the least.
I definitely don't remember who that is.
I totally forgot that we got Renly that early.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we met Varys, we met Renly, we met Baelish, all in that scene. Amazing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When you said Peter Baelish just now, in my head it's just written down as Littlefinger on a wall in my brain. And so like I was like, oh yes, he does have an actual
role. Oh, that's the other tricky thing when you read the books is everybody has multiple names.
Yeah. Great.
Sometimes it's Baelish, sometimes it's Peter, sometimes it's Littlefinger, you know.
It's this moment.
If you like the books, you would be reading the family trees in the back.
You know.
You know.
I think this is where it really starts to set in how bad a king Robert is, because they talk about how much in debt it is, and this is where you start seeding the relationship the Lannisters have with the crown, because they talk about just borrowing more money from the Lannisters and what that entails. And it's interesting that there's a whole show with zombies and dragons and everything, but the way it got you interested was who owes who money.
Or it did such a good job setting up dragons and zombies that we're like, we'll sit through this budget speech, but I swear to God, there better be a death soon.
Don't forget the boobies and death.
I think they
hooked a lot of people with boobies and death.
We've underplayed all the boobies, and I forgot to mention
in the first two episodes, not a mention
of the boobies. And this is where we get the most of it, because they were really trying to get people
on
board.
Hey, Roz, how you doing?
Roz gets a shout out in episode 4. We'll bring that up. but interesting. I forgot to note in the first episode, first skin shot, though, is a bunch of boys with their shirts off. A bunch of handsome boys as they're getting their haircut, and they all have their shirts off. So
interesting.
They tried a little bit, I guess.
No, they're little boys.
I mean, the actors are 19, 20.
I don't know. To me, still in my mind, I was like, oh, the children. It was not a, like, this is an eye candy moment. It was like, oh, the kiddies are getting a haircut.
Oh, well, that's fair.
I think of them as substantially younger. Which, if you saw the bonus episode, you would know what I'm talking about.
You probably have a problem with the Danny scenes then. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
That's an ew from Sam's corner of the podcast.
This episode's also where we finally get to see, I guess this episode's a big one for the veil being lifted, because we kind of get to see how shady everything is at King's Landing. And this is where John realizes that basically everybody lied to him about the wall. It's basically a collection of scumbags, and that's a shitty situation that Tyrion was the only one willing to be like, hey, maybe this isn't the right call for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm. Scumbags, but also just incapable people. These aren't soldiers. These are people who don't have money, or they committed crimes or something, and this is how this is the only option for them.
Yeah.
And I do like that. Actually, that's my favorite scene from the episode. What were you saying?
I was going to say, I do think that the Starks, in particular, hold a higher respect for those who fight and defend the wall than maybe the rest of the Seven Kingdoms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because they're so close to it, and should stuff decide to break through and come south during the winter, the Starks would be the front lines after the wall. So
yeah.
I don't think that they were lying necessarily when they raised Jon to believe that this is a position of honor and, you know, this would be a lovely life, you know, challenge for you to take on. But I think they maybe naturally gloss over some of the ugliness of it in the stories they tell their children.
Yeah.
Whereas someone like a Lannister mm-hmm. would probably have a very negative view of the wall, of this is just where we send our criminals and they defend us against things that are made up that don't actually exist. It's just a place we throw our people that we don't want to keep in jails.
Yeah. And it's interesting. I think there's a parallel between Jon and Sansa in that sense, in that she has a very romanticized view of royalty and he has a very romantic, it's the romantic, they both have the gender opposite romanticization of mm-hmm. the fantasy character. Like, she envisions herself this princess that she wants to be, and John envisions himself this hero that mm-hmm. that in this moment, in this spot, does not exist.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You know, nobody that's currently part of the Night's Watch and views themselves as these great heroes.
No.
Not
with
even
the exception of maybe Benjen.
Yeah.
In some way.
But it sounds like he's one of the few that's actually doing stuff.
Also.
Like, he's going out getting stuff done.
Speaking of most recent seasons, I now remember who this character is. At first, I was like, Benjen. It's like, oh!
Yeah.
Store that nugget.
Once
in the
again,
back
another
of your brain
like.
For later. He's.
Don't worry, John. I'm going to tell you some important stuff next time.
Yeah. But it's cool because that time they're up on top of the wall and you get a little view of more snow.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I do like this whole sequence when we get John at the wall, because you see him like, you see his fantasy breaking down where it's just like, yeah, no, they're criminals and whatnot. And also, by the way, we have very little resources and we're training them the best that we can for who they are and where they came from. Mm-hmm. Like, some of these people have never even touched a sword or been near one or even seen one. You were raised by all of the best fighters in most kingdoms.
Yeah, you're a spoiled brat.
Yeah, and you're acting like one with the moody little brooding you're doing in the corner, so maybe step it up a little bit. And I do like that you get him befriending some of the people who were antagonizing him.
And he does step it up.
Yeah.
It's nice that he kind of finds a motivation mm-hmm. in that to help out his newfound brothers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's another humanizing moment of Tyrion kind of cementing that he's one of the people you can root for on this show, because he knows the people's names and kind of their backstory. He takes the time to learn mm-hmm. from Lord Mormont who these people are,
mm-hmm.
Which humanizes them to Jon.
That's what he does.
Yeah.
High intelligence stat, that one.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's what he's got going on.
He's
basically
high intelligence, high wisdom.
Yeah.
Tyrion Lannister.
High endurance in the bed.
Well, we don't know
Zoop?
That,
yeah.
actually.
Yeah.
He's no pod.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but no, it's not. I mean, but just as far, I mean, Jamie's in a lot of girls in episode one, and he seemed okay. He seemed down to clown.
Just fine.
Yeah.
But we also get Catelyn coming down.
And man, I don't, you know. This is a show for kids. I was talking about this Game of Thrones HBO show, all right?
But we also get Catelyn making her way down to King's Landing.
Another really quick travel, like, hey, I'm going to go down to King's Landing. And then later in the episode, she is there.
Uh-huh. But also because she thinks there's something up.
You know, in the books, she arrives by boat. Interesting. Sorry, I just wanted to throw that
Where's
out.
The that was ride. Definitely a budget thing. I can almost guarantee that she did not arrive by boat because of budget in this situation.
She went by boat.
Would that have been
quicker? A
little
quicker? Fun fact.
Yeah. I didn't even know that.
Yes, you would assume that would be quicker. Yeah. Yes.
Oh, I didn't even know how boats worked. Sorry. Then walking? Yes, yeah. Maybe a little bit. But also, I like her interactions with Ned and with Littlefinger.
Yeah, this is where we learn Littlefinger has been friend-zoned hard.
Now, also that there's a conspiracy. Whose blade was that?
And it's Littlefinger's, which is more telling than you'd think. Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, it's mine, but I lost it to Tyrion. Wink. It's like, yeah, but also it was yours.
Yeah.
let's not lose track of that little nugget right there.
Yeah, when she's like, he's like a little brother to me right in front of him. Everyone's like, sorry, Peter.
His mustache just got a little bit smaller, more pervy. Speaking of pervs, Viserys, you get the cornfield. It's a cornfield? In the forest. You get the confrontation between him and Danny.
And that's where you really realize he has no power.
But his acting, I really like his acting in this scene because he's such a little.
Weasel
maggot of a person that like he's like when he is like he you see that he sees himself as top dog and it's like actually you have no power, you have nothing here, and also the Dothraki don't give a flying fuck about him at all.
They don't care.
They really like Danny,
and this is where you also get to some Dothraki root for. You got Whip Guy.
Whip Guy.
You got a couple of the handmaidens that you're like, I recognize your face. Uh-huh. I'm going to be vaguely sad when you die later.
And it's interesting, too, that through their actions, not just that they're like, oh, man, we really support our Khaleesi, but because, I mean, they don't know her. Why would they really support her over any other Khaleesi? It's very telling about their culture, how much they respect the roles of the Khal and the Khaleesi, that they automatically give her such respect. And I think that's what Viserys was completely underestimating.
Yeah.
He was like, oh, she's just my dumb sister. She can't command any respect. Not realizing that just by nature of the title of Khaleesi, much respect is given.
Yeah, that she matters more. And I think this is also the episode where Dany starts to turn her marriage to Drogo into something that starts to resemble an actual relationship.
Because she starts to take episode 2, the ending is her taking control in the bedroom. Yeah. You see them have a connection with their eyes, even though they still can't really talk to each other.
Yeah.
And this, you do see a little bit of that. Yeah. You get some hints of that, but also you get the reveal that she's pregnant.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That one, that was
oopsie.
Well, not
not really. No, that's not the goal. That's the whole point.
Yeah. I mean, if she's being sold as a wife, I mean, she's probably supposed to have kids.
And it's she like seems pretty stoked about it. She doesn't seem bummed about it at all. She seems into it. You know what I mean?
She's on board.
Yeah, she's on board with having that baby.
I mean, it only increases her importance within the tribe.
Yeah, it's really interesting because obviously this is a fantasy show, and obviously it takes place in a world that is not our world. But you know, there is that connective tissue to some of our own history, a heightened version of it. And it's interesting to the idea of like that's not that it's necessarily the same, but you know, people were sold into marriage and how you have to find your way in that. It's interesting. It's an interesting, I think it's a little, this is a good way for people that don't think about our own history to like introduce ideas that like, hey, maybe think about how things used to be and how we are now and how people should be treated or not be treated as the case may be. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I did have a thought and it just escaped me and I wanted to bring it up and here it comes. Okay. And it has escaped me, Trisha.
Okay, then I will bring in a thought. I absolutely loved the scene where Arya is playing with Needle and Ned comes in and sees it. And instead of taking it away from her, which she expects, he, you know, just tells her to take care of it and then sets up her dancing lessons.
That's a good dad, man.
Good Dad.
Yeah. And also, let's introduce Ciro. Huh? He's my one of my favorite characters. Ciro's so cool.
Mm-hmm. But you do get a little
sad about that later too.
Unless he's a many-faced assassin.
I don't think he is, though. He might be, but I don't think he is, though.
We'll get to that later.
It makes me sad.
But Ned doesn't look the happiest, though. He's happy that it got set up and happy that Arya and his name is?
The Ciro?
Thank you.
Yeah, Ciro Forel, first sort of brought.
But no, that... he starts kind of having like
PTSD,
Vietnam flashbacks. Yeah, he's not doing too well, and you kind of get this hint that it's like he's not taking it away from her, but he does know that her life's going to be. I think there's like a seed that's sown that something like her life's not going to be easier.
I think he knows that both the girls he's brought with him to King's Landing are going to have a very tough life. I think he knows that the way that he raised them was a very idealized version of what royalty is and what King's Landing is, because that's what he wants to believe that it is.
Yeah.
I never think in a million years he thought that he would have to bring his children into that. And so that reality as a parent has to be heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And so I was just going to say he probably thought, well, if I can arm Arya, all the better.
Yeah, and it's interesting because it's again that I think this that connective tissue of that theme about the veil being lifted and him knowing the like, there are stories not just told to his family but all around the country probably of him and Robert's victories and this really romanticized view of it, and as we see in later seasons, it's like a lot of that was just ugly and gross and not nearly as fun or cool as it as it seems now. And I think that's something that this people underestimate with this show and the way it's structured because its cast is so big. There's a lot of shows that have tried to follow this ensemble thing where we're just going to throw a bunch of people at the screen and a bunch of ideas. Mm-hmm. And this show does such a good job of connecting all of its ideas in each episode with an overarching theme, so you feel like you got a complete idea, even though we're just one inch further in the story.
It is. After watching these, I did do a quick scan through them, just kind of like with like on Hulu on your phone, you can kind of like just use your finger and go through. I'm like, oh yeah, like things happened. Like not like nothing happens, but I'm like not as much as I thought. there are long scenes with characters that are important, but that is a good chunk of the episode.
So this is the conversation that people keep having in the later seasons, where what does things happening mean? Because for me, I love this first season.
No, it's great.
I love that, yes, while the plot's moving along, it's not on fast forward, and we're getting these beautiful character moments and these really cool scenes, like the expression in Ned's face watching Arya learn to fight.
Yeah.
Like those small moments. And that's what I feel like when the plot does move too fast later on, because everyone's so concerned with things happening, we miss a lot of that character development. And that's a bummer.
It's tough because the budget comes in, so they're able to, like by season seven, it is a full-on fantasy show. It's a fantasy. It's a Lord of the Rings. It's
fantasy action.
Yeah, it's a more graphic Lord of the Rings. And it's interesting because this season is still one of my favorite seasons because of all, like you're saying, Trisha, all the character stuff. Like we were talking last episode, Cersei's little scene with Catelyn. It's like it's just beautiful character work. It's just a nice little moment.
One of my favorite moments for this episode is with Jaime. He's standing guard outside of Robert's, and at first it's like gross, but then the other guard comes to give a message to Robert, and they exchange, and they're like, you know, we fought together, right? Like
in the next episode.
Oh, sorry. Because I was getting confused because Lancel is introduced in this episode.
And guess what? He matters.
Yeah. He looks weak and stupid, and it's perfect.
Yeah, like watching the show the first time, like I did not even bother registering him as a character because I didn't think he mattered to anything.
Why would you?
Yeah.
No, but he gets a real cool moment for Robert where Robert seems like a super cool guy with Lancel.
Well, and then there's the moment in this episode where Robert tells a story about defeating the Tarly boy in battle, and I was like, oh my God, we got a Tarly story in season one. Totally missed that the first time around. That was super cool. And I thought there was a really nice character moment, if we're talking about beautiful character scenes, between Cersei and Jaime when they get a little incesty. But you realize that at this point, Cersei still gives in to Jaime. Like, we're still at the point in Cersei's character arc where Jaime's top dog. And I thought that was really cool to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Cersei's not nearly as scary as she will become.
Yeah, but then she has that scene with Joffrey in this episode
where
you're like, oh, that's Cersei.
Cersei, that's good. Scarcy. No, that's good.
Scary Cersei.
Yeah.
coming out.
Yeah. And why Joffrey is the way he is, because the lies parents, like the narrative she's feeding to him, is what makes him who he is. And it's just one of those situations that it's like you start thinking about like the variables, like, man, if he'd been raised a little bit different, like if Robert had given a shit, or Cersei, I don't know, like there's going to be a scene later on the season between Robert and Cersei that I think is amazing, that really sets up their rapport. Anyway, whatever. It reminds me of how this show got me hooked in the first place, and I really enjoy that. We got a question here
from Harry Pledger.
Hey,
thanks for pledging. All right. To the Patreon. Sorry, that's what you get with the money. He said, "Do you prefer?" And we've kind of answered this already, but it'd be fun to kind of dive into a little bit. Do you prefer the way the show is now? The way the show is now at season 6 with action, dragons, and big wow moments, or opening? Or the opening, smaller scale, politically driven season 1. And I think, Trisha, I think I know your answer.
Yeah, which is funny because I would almost always err on the side of dragons and magic with the exception of this show because it's so well done.
And I think it's fair to say everyone would probably say the same thing because I want to see my dragons.
I do like this show does spectacle better than almost any other show. But when it does it at its best when it's backed by this kind of thing. Like I would argue the first like 4 episodes of season 7 are some of the best the show's ever done. The back few are a little rougher. But
you care about those characters
because of the work that's happened here. You know what I mean? And people love Battle of the Bastards, and on a pure spectacle level, I like it too, but it doesn't have the same character weight because it's pretty much your good guy and your bad guy.
Right.
And it doesn't have the same weight as something like if you're some of these scenes or like the Battle of Blackwater where things are a little bit more ambiguous, like you don't really know who to root for. And I think Battle of Blackwater is a good example of kind of meeting both, you know, where it's like it's the big battle, but also like on one side you have the Lannisters you don't like, but one of them's Tyrion, so you do like him, and you don't really like Stannis, but
Ramsay Bolton?
No, Stannis's right hand guy.
Millicent?
I know who you're talking about. I can picture him in my head, but I
Davos Seaworth.
The Onion Knight.
Yeah, the Onion Knight. So you're kind of conflicted because you don't really like the heads of either army, but there's people in each side that you like. I don't know. Yes. It's when the show can do both, it's great. But again, this season is the season that hooked me, and there's a reason it hooked me, and it's because of stuff like this.
Agreed.
What about you, Sam?
Total, 100% agree. No, I'm on board, and also it's just cool to shout out to Jorah. Just want to say that. Still like immediately you like him, and there's some seeds that are sown of just like what his deal is and everything. But
speaking of Jorah, we glossed over this in our like hitting important moments from this episode. Mm-hmm. Dude, he is shady AF when they find out she's pregnant.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, I need to excuse myself all of a sudden and travel somewhere to maybe not tell anyone this very secret news.
Yeah, nobody thought like, hey, maybe that's something we should mention to somebody. Yeah, like, he just straight bolted when this happened.
Straight up shady AF.
Oh, man.
He's booking it. Like, he didn't grab a horse or anything. Yeah, he's leaving real fast.
So again, are we so far 3 episodes in season 1? We're still on board with everything that's happening?
So far, yes. And I don't think I can find any critiques. I'm excited to get into critiques in like later seasons. Ramsay Bolton. Mm-hmm. That'll be a fun one to kind of dive into. Rip him apart a little bit. Foreshadowing. But Trisha, where would you rate this?
I mean, I liked this episode. I thought it was a great episode. I thought it had a lot of good character moments. And my favorite moment of the entire episode, we haven't talked about it all yet. Mm-hmm. And it's this scene, I believe it plays out between Ned and Jaime, but it's a little bit later in the episode when they talk about the Mad King dying and that his last words were burn them all. Because, man, there are so many good theories built around just that, and this is where we get it. And so just hearing it in its natural place as the seed was planted was real cool.
Oh, it was real.
It's also a good scene because it's a moment where you see where Jamie really just wants to be like, hey, you know, you could say that I avenged your father by killing this guy, and Ned won't let him have it. Or you just stabbed your boss in the back, whatever, and walks off. And it's like, you know, let him have it, man. He tried.
Jamie's not great right now.
I know.
Yeah. We know later.
But maybe it's situations like this that made Jamie the way he is.
It's probably the hair.
Don't he's got some good hair.
He has great hair.
I think if I was in that, I'd be jealous.
But yeah, I really liked a lot of this episode. DJ?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Agreed.
That was a beautiful. That was a beautiful moment, and it was a beautiful episode. Thank you so much for joining us. Make sure you watch the episodes with us over at patreon.com/hardtosaygoodbye. We watch
bye-bye.
Them. There's hard a
to,
video.
Huh? Hard to say bye bye.
Hard to say bye bye. And there's live streams you can join with us, and you can watch the episode. But send us your questions on Patreon, or you can follow us on Twitter. That's also very helpful. Trish.
You can find me on the interwebs at thatgirltrish with no I in the girl.
There you go, DJ.
DJ Talk Trash, every place that matters.
There you go. And at Sam Basher, everywhere that matters. We appreciate all of you. Give you a little kiss on the forehead. Thank you so much. And we'll see you guys next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.